Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Tanner Griffith. For those of you who do not know me, I love meeting people, so I want to tell you I want to get to know you. That's like my personality. After this service, I would love to shake your hand, get to meet you. Welcome to summer at Vintage Church. We are going through this summer a little booklet that we have out at our info table titled Live the Gospel. And this is joining us in our series on Jesus and community. And today we're looking at that Jesus has made us a community around his word. That's what we're going to be looking at today. This booklet helps you walk through this outside of Sunday. So I'd love for you, if you don't have one of these, love to invite you to take one of these with you today. If you like digital copies, we have digital copies on our blog at vintagenc.com. Again, that we would love for you to just go take and use as we go through the summer looking at Jesus and the community that he makes us. You probably can't see it, but I just want you to know it because I feel weird today because my mouth is rubbing a tooth that just chipped. I look like Lloyd Christmas from Dumb and Dumber right now. Yesterday, my toddler, Abel, kicked me in my mouth and this filling that I had right here popped out. I had 10 years ago broke my tooth at UPS on a metal slide, which was awful. And so he didn't completely damage my tooth. It was a past injury. He just knocked out the filling. So if I meet you and I start whistling, after the service, or if you you kind of look ridiculous, I don't typically look like this, but you can post, who wore it better type thing, Lloyd Christmas or Tanner Griffith, we can do that. But literally, as I talk, my mouth goes against it, and I'm like, oh, that's so weird. So I needed to tell you, I know you probably can't see it. Welcome to summer, that's what we're going to do. I love this series. I hope you've enjoyed it so far. I just love looking at Jesus' life. I love that we're in the Gospels, that every week we have just been looking at who Jesus is. What we're going to see today, Jesus does this, he preaches this unexpected message. Tons and tons of people have gathered, and he teaches these 9 verses. You just heard it read, and he's going to explain who his people are. They are this good soil. They are these people who are transformed by the seed that comes into their life. And that seed is the word of God. So today, I just want to ask that God would help us hear his word. That's where all the power is. It's not in my message. It's in Jesus Christ himself. It's in his word. So I want to pray for us. And we're going to talk about this passage and go through and look at Jesus and what he's teaching us this week. Let me pray for us and we'll dig in. Jesus, what a wonderful time that we get to remember, even just in worship, as we come to this moment. God, would you truly help remind us that it's in you that we find our wholeness, that it's in nothing but your death and resurrection for us that we get our righteousness. It's nothing but your blood, Jesus. God, would you help us see in this passage your grace towards us? God, this passage I think is so easy to kind of see how maybe we can work out some things in our life. We could think, oh, I need to improve. I need to get better. I need to do. I need to work. But this message, God, is all about your word, your grace, and namely Jesus Christ. God, would you help us see the wonderful things in your word today? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So have you ever been someplace where the unexpected happens? I tried to make an unexpected thing happen with myself and my wife, Kara, when I got engaged to her. I did not want my wife to know, or, she wasn't even my fiance at the time, my girlfriend, to know when and where this ring or this proposal was going to happen. So I'm going to tell you about this. Can I tell you all about this? I don't know if some of you might know about this story, but I'm going to tell you again. So I decided, I was like, I'm going to be really smart. I was finishing up seminary. I'd met Kara, and my graduation date was coming up. And this, by this time, I knew I wanted to marry my wife. Actually, on her birthday, I like went to go buy her ring. And we, at this point, we were talking all the time. So I went like dark and silent on her birthday. And she was like, it's my birthday. Why isn't Tanner calling me? I was like buying her ring. So I'm making these plans and I have this brilliant idea because I do not want Kara to figure out that where this proposal is going to happen or what it's going to be like. So I decide, hey, my graduation's coming up. Like I'm getting my master's, my graduation's coming up. I know what I can do. I can basically make our engagement party. I can frame it through my roommates to her as a graduation party. And what I'll do is I'll get my roommates to come to her and say, hey, let's plan Tanner a graduation party. Really, she would be planning her own engagement party, okay? So, and she's involved in it. So I think this is awesome. So she'll be telling, and my plan is, I'm basically punking my wife. If you ever saw the show Punked, you know, she's gonna start this thing. I'm gonna come in unexpectedly. I thought, you know, this was brilliant. So we start. I start like telling my roommates, "Hey, can you do this?" They get involved. You know, with most surprise parties, and it's all supposed to be a surprise. You go somewhere. And then the person that the party's about, you know, comes to this party where they're like, surprise, you know, somebody is hanging out with them. So this was part of the plan. Kara was, because Kara's planning this party, right? Kara's going to take me into Raleigh. We were up in Wake Forest at the time. We're going to go to our favorite places, Third Place for coffee, Lily's for pizza. And my brother was going to call. Now, the reason I know all this is my plan. My brother is going to call and say, hey, Kara, you need to stall. I'm not in town yet. Because Kara was inviting all my family in town. Well, I was inviting all her family in town, which she didn't know about, because this was really an engagement party. So I'm inviting all her family in town. She's inviting my family. My brother calls and says, hey, I'm late. Can you stall? And I needed the stall because I needed her to think this is her day. Like, she's taking me out. And the stall, what would happen is at the stall, I'll take her to Raleigh, the Rose Garden in Raleigh. I had painted a picture, put a picnic blanket out there, a little picnic. That's where I was going to propose to her, right? And at that point, she would know I was involved in this whole thing. You know, this is not an accident that there's a picnic blanket and a painting and an engagement ring, you know, a diamond ring here. So the weird part is she gets the call, and she just starts telling me this, like, really long sob story because I figured the stall, she would be like, oh, we need to go somewhere. And then I would go, oh, let's go to the Rose Garden. Well, that doesn't happen. So she starts telling me this, like, super depressing story. And I'm like, this is not what I need for, like, the day I get engaged. So I'm like, let's go to the Rose Garden while you tell me this, like, super depressing story that's super long. I mean, I think the depressing story goes up. I just finally have to like start going down to my knee. And but the unexpected happened that day, right? Like, she wasn't ready for that. The funny thing is, in the back of her mind, she's still like, we've got to get Tanner to this graduation party. Like, that's after, and I figured she would have put two and two together. Oh, this isn't really a graduation party. But I think as we were driving into the, like, place that we were having at our friend's house, she realized, oh, wait a second. This is all connected, isn't it? So the unexpected happened. You've probably all been at places where the unexpected has taken place. This story, the context, let me give you the context of what has been going on in Jesus' ministry. Jesus' ministry has blown up, and the reason it's blown up is he's been doing incredible things. He got baptized, he goes out into the wilderness, he meets with God, and he comes out, and he just starts healing people, he starts casting out demons. It's so much that his parents, like at least his mom and his brothers, are like embarrassed. because of how popular it's happening. They're trying to actually get him to like slow down. That's what's happened right before this. His popularity has just gone, it's gone wild. Because he's healing, he's teaching in amazing ways, casting out demons, he's changing lives. So at this story, I want to read it, and you're going to see the scene that happens. What you're going to see, there's so many people at this place, he has to get into a boat. Some of the gospels say it's like he's going to get crushed. So he has to get into a boat so that the crowds just can't like overwhelm him. I mean, there's these huge crowds, and that's where he's at. And he's going to teach them a message. And they, I imagine that these large groups of crowd, a large crowd wanted something different than what he says. So let's read this passage one more time and see what Jesus tells this incredibly large crowd. He says, again, he began to teach by the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell among the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up. Since it had no depth of soil, and when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up so that it choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing, yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear it. Imagine if that was your sermon today. You come to this place, and because Jesus is going to be here, let's just say the room, you know, it's packed out. And this is the message he tells you. And he ends, I mean, what an ending to a sermon. If you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. It's a story about a sower, he seeds, there's bad, like some seed hits a path, birds get it. Some seed hits this rocky ground, it gets burned up by the sun. Some seed, it's seed where there's all these weeds and thorns. It gets choked out. And then finally, there's the seed that produces. Farmers there would have been like, whoa, what in the world? Actually, there's some seed that's producing in miraculous ways. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. That's like almost, that's impossible. Like we modern day seeds like cannot produce this much. So he tells the story, and then he says, if you understand it, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. I mean, he has this huge crowd. And that's where he stops. And many of you know this story. You've heard this parable. And interestingly, the crowds go away. They heard this parable. That's all they heard. And the disciples come to Jesus after this. I would encourage you to read this whole chapter today after you leave. The disciples come, let me give you some context after he said this. The disciples come to him and say, what did that mean? Can you tell us what that meant? So this much smaller group of people get to be brought in on the meaning of this parable. They push into Jesus. And interestingly, what we'll see from what happens in this whole chapter of Mark is exactly what the parable is kind of talking about. When Jesus and his word, when Jesus shows up and gives us his word, there's ways that we can use his word. Some of us will use his word to get what we want. And the three types of soil, the first three types of soil, the path, the rocky ground, and the ones that are choked out, use Jesus and his word to serve themselves. The soil that produces fruit, the good soil, is soil that wants God above all things. The parables that was taught, he taught this message, and some people just walked away. They wanted some miracles. They'd been seeing all these miracles. Show us some great thing. Teach us some great word. And he gives them this, and crowds turn away, and some of them had to be just disappointed. But there was a few. There was his disciples that they didn't understand what was going on, but they wanted Jesus. So they were like, can you explain this to us? This passage, when I was reading it, it's so easy as I study it to go, you know what? I want to be this good soil that has life being produced in it. This whole message is about the seed that gets into your soil and it produces this abundance of life. And I can be like, I want to be like that soil. And it's so easy to take this passage and do what God's people for all time have done. The people of Israel, when they get God's word, a lot of times what they do is, okay, how do we do this? How do we legalistically make this happen? And what we do is we turn God's word into like a thing, a lot of stuff to do, and it becomes about us. This passage, I want to just from the get-go say, this passage is about grace, not about works, and is about God's word, which is namely himself. This is not a passage about us and our works. This is about him and his work. And I want to show you this. How is he doing this? How is he doing this? I wanted to, again, give you that context of the passage to show, man, the nature of the parable itself shows you that. There were certain people that heard, and they just went away. But there are some that stayed, and they wanted God. They wanted Jesus above everything. They didn't leave him. They pressed in. This is what I want to invite every single one of us to today. I want to invite you to Jesus and his word. And in his word, he gives us his good news of the gospel. The Bible actually tells us what his word is all about. What's this Bible all about? What is this story all about? It's about God. The word of God reveals God to us. And namely, in his word, who is exalted is Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Today, Jesus is going to use this example of seed. The sower throws out this seed, and then the seed goes into this soil, and the seed can bring abundant life. I want you to have that abundant life in Jesus Christ. And the way you have that abundant life in Jesus Christ is not by working for it. You receive it from him. And you press into him and you ask him for himself, and he will give you himself more and more and more. So let me show you. I want to show you these three types of soils. What we're going to do is we're going to look at the three types of soils that do not produce any fruit. And then we're going to look at the soil that produces fruit. We're going to talk about the differences and what is Jesus telling us in this parable. And how can we apply this to our lives? That's what we're going to do. So let's look quickly at these first three types of soils. These first types of soils, literally no fruit comes from any of these soils, okay? So the first soil is actually not really all soil. It's a path. You know paths, like you walked on one to get here, the sidewalks, right? Or if you're in the woods, they're just these compacted places of ground where seed cannot get into them. Jesus says in this parable, he goes, look, as this sower sows, some seed fell along the paths and the birds came and devoured it. When he explains this passage to the disciples, he actually tells us what he's talking about in this passage. The disciples go, what are you talking about? Jesus says, those birds, that's Satan. Satan comes, and when God's word is preached, there's some people that when they hear God's word, immediately that seed gets eaten up by Satan and taken away. A lot of us have experienced this. We've been at sermons. We've been at places where God's word has been preached, and it's like almost as soon as we've heard it, we were convicted, but we walked out that door, and it's like gone. Satan wants to come in and remove that conviction as fast as possible from us. That's what happens to this first type of soil. The seed gets thrown out. The seed doesn't get into the soil. The birds come away and just pick it, and it's gone. Nothing happens. Consider that in your life. Consider what it is about Sundays that might not stick. I want to tell you, Satan actively fights against God's word. He actively fights against God's word. He does not want it to get down deep into your soul. At the heart of who you are, he does not want it to get deep and deep and deep and just roots keep on growing and keep going deeper and stronger. He does not want you to think that Jesus Christ has saved you. He wants you to think, man, you can do it. Just do it on your own power. Work it out. Satan comes and takes all the conviction of God's word and God's gospel to us, and he can take it out immediately on this type of soil. That's the hard path. The second type of soil, again, these roots cannot get into it. It's this rocky path, and Jesus tells us what this rocky path is. The disciples are, what is this path? This path is talking about persecution, trials, that come. Jesus said, this is the type of person where God's word comes in. It kind of starts busting out. It starts growing a little bit. But once, he says, the sun came, it scorches it up and it dies. It withers. Many of you have faced trials. Jesus has told us, well, that's basically life. Life is trial and suffering. We are promised trials and suffering as believers. And many people, when they find themselves in front of criticism, or they find themselves in front of suffering, they can't handle it. Tim Keller, in speaking about this text, he had just an incredible, I thought, of this type of soil. Get this incredible question. Listen to this question. Is God's delight in you more important than the accolades of others? So God's word, think about this question. I just want you to think about it. God's word, his gospel to you, is I'm delighted in you. I have given my one and only son for you. That's his word. Namely, that's what we can boil this down into, is God has loved us. He has given us Jesus Christ. And when criticism comes our way, we fold. That means we care more about like the accolades of others or what's outside of God than God's delight in us. This question is so important. If we understand the gospel message, we understand that God himself delights in us. The second soil, values the accolades of others. They want to get out of suffering. They want to get out of the trial. They don't trust God's word over the culture, over their family, their friends. That's this rocky soil. The third soil is a different. So there's first this path where Satan comes up, takes the seed. Second path, persecution. Hard times come, and the word that's grown a little bit in their life just gets killed off. It's about persecution, trials, criticism, something like this. The third soil, is one that's the opposite of persecution. This is when great things happen to you. You know, it's amazing that when everything goes well for you, how you can like just lose the need for God. Jesus tells his disciples, this is how he puts it. Later in verse 4, he says, and other ones, and this is talking about this seed that the thorns and get choke out, others are the ones sown among thorns, and they are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Sometimes the best things in life can be our worst problems. We can start performing really well at work. We can start believing actually our riches are what provide for us over God. We can start thinking, oh, my fame or my status in culture is more important than God and his delight in me. It's great to be well-known. It's great to be well-liked. It's great to get a good paycheck. But not if this happens. If it chokes out the gospel in your life, if all of a sudden you start thinking, man, I'm pretty awesome. I don't need God. I've got this covered. I've got life covered. These three soils are so dangerous. These three soils, actually, you can see in the beginning. If you read all the early stages of Mark, you can see these soils in the book of Mark itself. His family, that's just before this, his mom and his brothers, were just this third type of soil. They started getting nervous. I mean, we can see this in our own lives. All these things hopefully you can kind of relate to. To see you, we have a need. So here's the thing. At the end of this, I want to go, well, I want to be the good soil. I don't want to get choked out. I want this abundant life. Because what Jesus is telling us about is namely, that he has come that we might have abundant life. This is like what he's talking about and with these seeds. He's giving them a message, namely about life. I want this abundant eternal life. How can I be the good soil? And for a lot of us, like I said, we start going, okay, how can I do this? How can I make this happen? What are the kind of the rules and regulations? And here's how I'm going to do this to fix this. I want to say there's a different way that Jesus is offering us. He's not offering us a parable to help us show us, hey, you need to help yourself. He's giving us this parable to actually give us his gospel, that he himself has completed his work and will cause us to be brought to eternal life through him. Now let me show you how I think he does this. The first three soils, they have no roots. The roots are like, do not grow at all. Like the first soil, the seed can't even kind of become to start growing at all. So if we think of the seed as the word of God and his message and his gospel to us, there's no gospel roots. It's not going down deep in us. The second seed, the rocky soil, the roots, it even tells us, it just couldn't go, the roots could not go deep. So it gets burned up. The third soil, I don't know if you guys have grass. It's kind of like I've planted tons of grass seed. And where there's weeds and thorns around, grass has such a hard time, especially new grass, because if the grass seed and the thorns or weeds are kind of on the same levels, weeds just suck up all the water. You got to get rid of those weeds to get the roots to go deep. So all three soils, the depth of these roots are an issue. What I think Jesus is telling us is what each and every one of us needs is we need this like long lifetime process of putting the gospel of God, which is that Jesus Christ has died for your sins, that he has risen from the dead and brought you to new life, we need to understand his grace more and more and more and more and get it to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And I need to understand his grace and love and care deeper and deeper and deeper. And as it goes and it gets deeper and deeper and the roots get down deep within the depth of who I am, growth will not be stopped. And it will be miraculous growth. It will be 30-fold, 60-fold, 100 times growth. Growth that's unheard of, unseen. God's word gets, when it gets into us and we receive his good news, his gospel, that it's not based, our salvation is not based on what we do, not based on our good works, our good deeds, but it's based on his work for us. That the word became flesh and dwelt with us. He came into our situation, into our sin. That he knows our sin, knows our suffering, knows our pain. He took it on himself and bore all of our sin on his cross. That when he died, he put it away as far as the east is from the west. He removed our sin from us. And when he rose again, he brought us all to new life. As that message gets deeper and deeper and deeper into my life, life cannot be stopped. This seed will grow and flourish and multiply and produce. That is what I need more than, you know what, I should like, if I just like prayed, you know, more, if I just read my Bible more, if I just went to church all the time, you know, and we give ourselves religious duties. Now hear this. I hope you pray. I hope you're in your word. This passage is God has made us and given us life through his word. I hope you read, but not to gain your righteousness, but to meet God himself. The first three soils use God. They hear something, they like it, but very quickly they're gone. The final soil wants God himself. And it's incredible when we get God, we actually get a complete person. We find ourselves in a way that's amazing. There's three things that I think God's word particularly tells us in our basic needs. I think some of our basic needs as just humans is one, is unconditional love. We all need love. Every single one of us wants to know that somebody loves us, that we are loved. Well, what is God's word, the seed? What does God's word tell us? Romans 5 says, man, God shows us his love for us this way, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's what God's word tells us. We have been unconditionally loved. We all need to know this message. Like, this is when I go to God's word and I start meeting with God, I start finding I am completely loved, and I'm loved in a way that's amazing. When I feel the worst about myself, when I feel that nothing could love me, when I'm a sinner, when I trip up and do the same stupid thing that I hate, that destroys relationship, that destroys my conscience, it's at that moment God says, man, I gave my life, that while you were a sinner, that's when I displayed my love for you. Man, our second need, one of our second needs is either you could put it praise or approval. I think a lot of us need to know, man, we're accepted. Somebody sees and delights in me. The problem with getting that from people is as soon as you can get it, you can lose it. But God's word tells us this: for our sake, God made him, which is Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him, in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. Here's what I find in his word, in the gospel message, I find I've got the righteousness of Christ on me. I have become a new creation. God is completely and utterly delighted in me. In the Old Testament, God, there's this passage in the prophets where in Zephaniah where it says he's going to just sing his delight over us. And the way that happens is because he's given us his righteousness. We are completely approved, completely accepted. And now God himself, for some weird reason, he's going to praise us. How crazy is that? This is a need we have. We need love. We need approval. Our final one piece that I think all of us need is we need safety. We need security. A lot of us in this room, we have been hurt. And as humans, that injures us. That wounds us in ways that are so hard and deep. And when I come to God's word, when I come and submit myself to God's word, which is what Jesus is telling me, is all this passage is all about, his word in us. This is what he says in John 10. Listen to this. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. You can have no greater security than that. Jesus Christ, in his word, tells us, you are loved. You are approved, and you are safe. I will hold you. I will keep you till the very end. These are our basic needs. And God gives us these promises in his word. We do not need to like rake a ton of yards out there and do all this work and do religious duties to get what can happen when we know and put this into our souls. And when his word goes down deep in us and works and moves, it changes us and it produces fruit and it causes us to love the whole world. It finally starts showing us where we are complete mess ups. And goodness, the way I view people is awful, but look at Jesus Christ. Look at how he has loved me. Let me try to love like that. God's word is to go down deep into our souls. This is a process that takes a long time, and I want to invite you into that. At our church, God has made us a community by his word. We at this church, we preach from God's word every single week. Our ladies are going through Exodus right now. We try all the time. We want to just look at God's word, because when we go to God's word, we're going to find everlasting life. Not because it's like some really awesome book, but because of God himself reveals himself to us here. You know, it's interesting that Jesus uses a seed analogy. That he's talking about this sower and seed, and life comes from the seed, and it's abundant life. I've told you, John tells us the word became flesh. Jesus became flesh. You know, in God's word, we find Jesus Christ. Jesus actually gives an example in a story, or an example of a seed about himself. He goes, you know, unless a seed goes into the ground and dies, it can't bear much fruit. And he was talking about himself. He's basically saying, our life comes from his death and resurrection. He is that like incredible seed that when he comes into our life, nothing can stop the growth and the work that will happen in and through him, because he has died and he has raised again. Listen to this. Peter, I feel like, sees this. These two verses I want you to see. He cannot separate the word of God and Jesus Christ. Look at this in 1 Peter. This is in verse 23 of chapter 1. Listen to the power of God's word. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. Peter says, here's the way we've been born again, the word of God. Listen to this verse, like just verses earlier, in verse 3, so 20 verses earlier. Listen to how he says we've been born again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The way we are brought to life is through God's word, both the word that became flesh, that died for our sins and rose again, and by this, when we hear it, when it goes down deep, it transforms us. God has made us a community of his word. Let's be like those disciples who don't allow just this weird, unexpected message to just go in one ear and then just walk away. Let's be like the disciples that push in to his word. Let's say, Jesus, tell us what that means. Give us yourself. Jesus Christ longs to transform you and change you. Be like the good soil that just longs to hear him and know him, to let his gospel go deep and deep into your life. Let's be that people, and let's offer his gospel to our world. Let's pray. God, we just thank you that you have taken us as your own, that you have made us that way through, even as Peter just said, through your word. You've caused us to be born again through your word, through your gospel. God, would you help us as we want to be a people that are of your word, God, would you help us not to be a people that are all about us working out what we cannot? God, would you help us to receive your grace towards us and to believe your promises? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.